This is a Defocus Media production.
All right. Hey, everyone. This is Opto Turbin, JD, Jasdeep Singh Soni. Glad to be back recording podcasts. So today I have here with me Heather. Go ahead and introduce yourself, Heather.
Hey, everyone. My name is Heather Ogoke, or a.k.a. Chizoba Heather Ogoke, C. Heather Ogoke, whatever you want to call me. I'm a third year at Midwestern University, Arizona College of Optometry, and I'm really excited to be here.
Well, yeah, thanks for coming on the show and appreciate you being here.
Yeah.
So the reason I wanted to talk to you about today, I want to talk to you about being social. I think being social is really important, not just wherever you are in the world, but especially for optometry. And I think you have a lot of skills, and I've seen you since you're a year below me in optometry school here. I think your social personality is going to make you really bright, and you're going to be a star because of it. And I think that's going to help you with patients a lot. So that's what I wanted to talk about today.
Aw, thank you very much. I really appreciate you saying that.
So let's get into it. But before we do that, tell us a little bit about your background. Where are you from? Why are you going to optometry school? What are your goals?
Okay, so I'm from West Orange, New Jersey, for my East Coast peeps. Whoop, whoop. So I'm in optometry school at Arizona College of Optometry. Optometry, honestly, it all started back when I had an intermittent eye turn back when I was in grade school. I had a really hard time focusing and reading in school, and I went to my optometrist. I go to her every year. I'm a myope. I've always been wearing glasses, and I just had a really hard time in school. Came to writing essays, reading for long periods of time, and I was diagnosed with an intermittent exotropia right before college. And I'm so happy my optometrist caught that before I went off to college, because I went through vision therapy and it seriously changed my life. It's so funny because when people ask me, oh, where are you from? Really, I'm from Glendale, Arizona, but because I was born here in Glendale, Arizona, and I noticed there was an optometry school in Glendale. So I applied to the optometry school in my birth town and I got into it that day, and I was like, this has got to be a sign. And now I'm here and I'm loving it. I'm so thankful to be here, and I've learned so much about the career and so much that I could do with it. I mean, I want to go on and do a residency in vision therapy too. I've just been so inspired by my optometrist from before.
What I think is good here is that you were able to go to vision therapy at a young age, because imagine if you had those issues while you were in an optometry school, like trying to read all those slides and
Exactly. Taking
tests. And so that's such a cool process. And it's awesome that motivates you to what you want to do next, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
it's that one area of optometry that I'm so dedicated to right now. Like all the classes that we're taking strabismus, non-strab, treatment. Those are my favorite classes. So I put so much of my time into those classes to really just understand the science behind that. And I'm just really excited to continue my career in that direction and see where it can really go. So, yeah.
Well, awesome. Well, today's topic was, I'm glad we got to hear your background a little bit. And this kind of will help us understand you a little better when we talk about why is it important to be social. And so, like I was saying, being a year older than you in optometry school, I saw like you were always connecting with different people within your program. I think you hang out with a lot of different types of groups, whether it be parents or people who are single or people of different cultures. I've seen you embrace my culture and other people's culture. I've seen you hang out with people from dental programs.
Yeah. You're my first friend here, if anything. Do you remember?
I do.
The first day I came for, it was actually for the interview day, I remember. You're the first person I ever met, and I never thought I'd see you again. I mean, the school is already so small as it is, but I even connected with you, and it was at a happy hour afterwards. And I remember after I got into the school, I would always text you asking you all these questions. It's like I already had a friend there. Once I got there, it's like I already had JD. So
you met me at, I was your first friend from Midwestern, and you still decided to come back?
I know, it all worked out.
Are you sure that was a good decision?
It's so funny, because I mean, I tell everyone, like, yeah, JD was my first friend here. And yeah, he's an upperclassman, but I swear, like, I feel like you're also a big reason that I came to Arizona, too, because I just noticed how friendly everybody was. So, yeah, I have to thank you for that.
Oh, wow, that's so nice. I definitely think we relate on the social side.
Yeah.
But why do you think you try to relate with so many different types of people, let's say, in your optometry program?
Well, I think that we can all agree, optometry, I mean, it's not easy. You know, like, we're in a program that constantly has us studying every single day, and you're around these people all the time. I mean, with Midwestern University, Arizona College of Optometry, we're a really small class, so I came all the way from the East Coast. I don't know anybody here. I am completely out of my comfort zone. If anything, it was a culture shock just being on the other side of the world. And I'm around people that are from like South Dakota that grew up in on the West Coast, whether it was like on and around beaches or on farms or just places that I'm just not used to seeing. So for me, I don't know. I thought that was great. I wanted to really put myself out there and get to know these people. And I've never been in a class that was so small. And I knew like, this is going to be my family for the next 3 years. I wanted to give everyone a chance and just, you know, see where everyone came from, talk to everyone and just get to really know their personalities and what they can really bring to the table. I don't know. I struggled a lot in optometry. I'm a third year right now. And I feel like I can talk to anybody in my class right now and I can study with anybody. I can ask anybody for help. And I'm just so comfortable here in my class. With the friendships that I've made in my class, I just know that they're going to last a lifetime. Whether it's I'm seeing a patient in the future and I could be like, hey, like I have that one person in my class that's really good at disease. I can text them in a few minutes and just be like, hey, like, can you let me know about this one patient? Like I'm seeing this, like, I don't know, CRVO and I don't know exactly what to do with it. Can you let me know? I mean, because we all have our weaknesses. We all have our strengths. But I feel like everybody in our class has something to bring. So why not get to know everybody, you know? Because in the long run, it'll help you out.
So it sounds like that social aspect in your life has always just aided you in wherever you've gone.
Mm-hmm.
You can count on these different types of friends when you need help to find out more information about something. And that's great.
Yeah.
And I think so. Right now, I know you're in school, so like obviously a lot of your experiences with your classmates and some with seeing patients. Right now, being in clinic 8 to 5, seeing patients. Mm-hmm. It's hard when you don't have that comfort and already know them. You can't just say, hey, I already know you like The Bachelor. I'm going to go watch that, right?
Yeah.
I know you watch that every Monday. I know you watch that every Monday. But that's where with patients, it's going to be a completely different experience. Like, you're meeting them possibly for the first time, and you have to gain that trust.
Yeah.
And so, like, for me personally, what I try to do a couple things to try to make them feel comfortable. Number one, I always smile.
Mm-hmm.
I'll smile at people in the hallway, even if they're not my patients, just to make sure they feel comfortable, make sure they feel at home. Number two, I always shake their hand. And number three, I always introduce my full name. You know, obviously I have a tough maybe first name. People have trouble pronouncing just Deep, but that's why I always say JD is a nickname to make them feel comfortable. But at the same time, I want them to know my mama gave me as my name. And
yeah.
That's where, you know, for your last name, right? That's
right.
Where maybe, you know, but it's important that you keep your culture, your tradition to say that.
Uh-huh.
But I think those little things with meeting patients, make them feel comfortable, shaking their hand, smiling at them. That's,
yeah.
Not just with even patients, just anybody you meet in life. Those are just going to get you that instant connection where they can be a resource for you for the rest of your life just by the fact that you said their name or remember their name or remember that they played tennis at their last appointment.
Yeah. I also feel as though when I am in the exam room, especially right now, I'm sure you remember, you're trying to keep up with the next gen. You're making sure you get everything down on their chief complaint. And sometimes it can be hard to really just interact with the patient and ask, like, how was your day or where are you from? But what I've done when I'm walking up the stairs, I'll ask that. I'll be like, hey, where are you from? Or I really like your shoes. Like, throw them a compliment. And even throughout the exam or before the exam, if anything, ask them, what can I call you? Like, do you like Mrs., Miss? Or like, may I call you by your first name? Like, you can always ask that. And even throughout the exam, say their name or say, make sure that you're saying their name so they know you know it. And it's also just like, wow. Like, Heather really remembers my name right now. It's just, I don't know, it's like more of like a personable kind of relationship that you have. For me, I'm trying my best to stay like positive during the exam because you know how it is third year. It's like you're kind of stressed out. You want to make sure you're making your time. And then sometimes you're like, oh my God, am I talking too much to the patient right now because I don't want my preceptor to get upset with me. But I think I'm really proud of myself right now that I'm getting to the point where I'm finding the time to be to form these relationships with my patients. I love, oh my God. I think the best part of the exam is finding out where they're from and finding that one thing you guys have in common and just being able to talk about that. Because when I tell them I'm from New Jersey, they're like, really, you're from New Jersey? And I'm like, yeah, I'm from New Jersey. And they'll be like, oh, my son's from New Jersey. Or like, oh, my cousin's from there. I used to live in like South Jersey. And it's like, oh, way, like, you know that person. I know that person too. And it's, you already like have that relationship and that bond. And then next time they come back, they're requesting you. And they're like, oh, you're like so excited because they remember your name. It, it's a great feeling. You're just like, oh, I'm only a third year, I'm only a student doctor, but I already had this like effect on my patients. So
yeah, I love that you said the name emphasis. So right now when you meet someone for the first time, you don't have much familiarity, right?
Right.
And so the name is kind of a representation of you, and by you re-emphasizing their name and saying it shows that you're building trust, that you actually care about them as an individual.
Exactly, that you care and that you remember and that you're really just there for the patient. You're here to make sure that they're getting the right care.
Right. So. One thing my sister, this has nothing even to do with optometry, but she does every time we go to dinner, we're sitting at the dinner table and she'll ask the waiter's name.
Does she say the waiter's or waitress's name? I love that.
And the waitress or waiter will say, hey, my name's Jeff, right? And,
yeah.
And so from there on, she'll say, hey, Jeff, do you mind getting this for us? And the experience is completely different.
Oh, for sure. I used to be a waitress back in college. So when my guests, we call them guests, when they would remember my name, they got like even better service. I mean, everyone got great service from me. I mean,
right. No spit in the food, right?
Spit in the food. Yeah, no eating their fries afterwards. Yeah. But when my guests would say like, "Oh, Heather, thank you so much for your service," or "Heather, may I have another water?" It just changes everything. It's like, wow, you remember my name? Oh, wow. Like, it's just different. So.
And if you can apply that to patients, like they come back. Honestly, I've been there where, because I have a turban, a lot of patients remember me and sometimes I don't remember them. And where I say, hey, yeah, my name is just Deep. Like, nice to meet you. And they're like, you know, we saw you last week, right? Yeah, it's the most embarrassing thing ever. And
they can't forget you.
Right. They can't forget me, but I forget them all the time. But it's if I did remember them, and sometimes I have in the times I have remembered people, they appreciate it 100 times more. And your experience is completely different.
Because at that point, they're not just another patient to you.
Right.
They're actually someone that you formed a bond with.
You're there to consult them on their needs. And you're not a salesman necessarily. Like, you're their friend. You're there for them.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that can be applied to life wherever you go, right? Remembering someone's name, smiling at them, even eye contact. Right now we're talking, we're having a conversation, we're looking at each other, right? Like, I think those are important things for a clinic, for whatever industry you're in.
For sure.
Just learning how to meet people. And if you walk into a room and you don't know anybody, or you walk into a bar and you want to meet somebody, like, just simple things like smiling, shaking someone's hand, saying, hey, how are you doing?
Yeah, saying, hey, how are you doing and where are you from gets you very far.
It does, I'll tell you that.
For anyone who's a little nervous to put yourself out there and be social, hey, how are you? And hey, where are you from goes a long way. The best conversation starters is what I'll call it. So.
And what I love is, and I'm not sure if you ever thought of this, but I know you want to go to vision therapy, and especially because your experience with your eye being turned out.
Yeah.
One thing we learned in one of our classes, and maybe you've heard this too, is these children that don't correct their eye issues and they have eye turns when they're in third, fourth grade, like, they're actually less likely to make friends, and that can make them less social. And like, that's so cool that you can be there for them.
For sure. So Dr. Miller actually just told us a story. It was a study, I believe, and it said that patients, younger patients, right, kids, these are kids 3 to 7 years old, they had an eye turn in any direction. I want to say it was an XO. They're least likely to be invited to the birthday party.
Right. So just because a kid has their eye turns out a little bit, they're less likely to make friends, and that has a snowball effect. They're less likely to be confident, less likely to be social at that age, and maybe they don't ever feel confident for the rest of their life. And
luckily for me, I'm so thankful that my turn is only intermittent, because I can only imagine, like, I mean, we all got made fun of in growing up, so, like, I didn't have the best grade school days. So I didn't need an eye turn making that worse, you know.
Well, thanks for sharing that. It was good to hear your story and your passions. Before we go, I do want to play a fun game. I'm going to say, give you two choices, and without thinking, just answer which choice you prefer, okay?
Here we go.
It's just based on being social, okay?
Okay.
Do you like going to the beach or mountains?
Ooh, I'm going to say the beach.
Okay.
I'm from Jersey. We go down the shore.
There you go. There you go. Do you, when you introduce yourself, do you say hello or what's up?
Hello. You know, I definitely don't say hello. I don't even think I say what's up.
Answer C? What do you say?
I think I'm more of like a hi.
Okay.
Like, I'm more of a hi girl. Like, hi, I'm Heather. Or like, hey, what? You know, maybe I do say, hey, what's up?
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Do you like going to bars or clubs?
Oof. I'm getting old.
Neither.
I'm loving the dive bars. I've always loved the dive bars, but I used to party. I definitely used to go to the clubs before. But like now, oof, that's like once every like 5 months probably.
All right. Well, I'm glad we did that. That was just a little fun session before we go. So yeah. Just to summarize, our topic today again was, why is it important to be social? How can people apply this to their life, whether they're trying to see patients, be in optometry school, or just they're in any industry, whether it be business, healthcare, engineering, whatever. How can we help people's lives and give them some tips here? Because I consider us both some social people, right? So for a couple things I said, like I said, I you know, smiling, introducing yourself with your name, remembering people's names, handshakes, eye contact, and just a simple hello and go from there and build your confidence that, you know, you being a genuinely nice person will help you build a relationship with one because you're just being a nice person. Is there anything else you'd want to add?
I agree. I do believe that everyone should try at least once to put yourself out there and get out of your comfort zone. I mean, I've always been someone that's always been in a bunch of clubs and organizations. And although, yes, it took up a lot of my time in optometry school, and there were times that I would have mental breakdowns like everybody else does, and it would be a little overwhelming, but I look back and I'm just so happy in the clubs and organizations that I participate in. Really join the clubs, join like the committees.
So get out of your comfort zone.
Yeah, basically get out of your comfort zone. I think the one thing that I did in optometry school that I'm so happy I did was Capitol Hill. It was completely out of my comfort zone. I know nothing about legislature, but I signed up because nobody else did, and they needed someone to represent ASCOPT. That was the second year, and I went to Capitol Hill, and it was great. I mean, I met a bunch of people from SUNY and other optometry schools as well, so that already was networking right there. Just being able to know other students from other schools, because when we all graduate, we're all colleagues for that. That was something that I never thought I would do, but it was really great, so... If anyone wants to get involved, do Capitol Hill and AOA for sure. You'll meet a lot of people.
Well, thank you for coming on the podcast. I really appreciate it. And I appreciate the fact that we were talking about being social, and that's the reason we're friends. And hopefully somebody could take value for this with their patients and whatever industry they're in with their school, and be more social. Get out of your comfort zone. So thanks for coming today, Heather.
Yeah, thank you. This was great.
Take care.